praise God, because when you go back and you read Josephus and those other writers, praise God, they say that how every time his back was hit, praise God, how flesh, praise God, would come out. So when we find that, praise God, he was wounded for our transgressions, praise God, which means, praise God, because another word for wounded is that word broken, praise God. That's why the scripture said, take, eat this, my body, which is what? Broken for you. In other words, he was bruised for our iniquities. I need to ask that question again. Praise God, I saw a few hands. Praise God, but have you ever been broken, praise God, or whipped or punished for something you did not do? Praise God. Or better yet, have you ever willingly been punished for something you did not do? You see, Jesus did this for us, praise God, and we should never forget the fact that he willingly took a whipping for each of us. Praise God. You see, the Apostle Paul writes at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, when he says that, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Apostle Peter picked up that same thought in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and said that who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes ye are healed. You see, we cannot forget his body, that he was broken for us. We cannot forget his punishment. But there's another thing that we cannot forget. Praise God. We cannot forget his payment. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, that there had to be a payment for the sins that you did. Praise God. You see, when we look at verse 25, it lets us know what the payment was. It says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament, in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Praise God. Maybe somebody didn't catch it. That was a payment that had to be made. You see, we sang this song every time we get ready to have communion. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him, praise God, I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but guess what? He washed it white as snow. You see, in order for our sins to be remitted or forgiven, in order for us to be saved, there had to be the shedding of some blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me see, can I make it a little bit plain to you? Then we're going to go home. Amen. You see, Peter writes at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, praise God, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without a spot. Hebrew writer picks up that same thought in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 12 through 14. And he says this, he said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for what? For us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes, praise God, of heifers sprinkled the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, the question comes, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, the cup that had represented the lamb's blood, praise God, that was smeared. Oh, y'all done read Exodus chapter 12. I hope you have. The cup, praise God, that had the blood that they put on the doorpost and the lintels of the doorpost. Praise God, back when the death angel was getting ready to pass through. Praise God, it is the same blood of the lamb that is shed for you and I today, for our salvation. You see, the old covenant was ratified repeatedly, praise God, by the blood of animals that was offered by men. But this new covenant, praise God, has been ratified once and for all, praise God, by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a payment. In other words, he paid for our salvation, praise God, with his precious blood. And let me tell you something, we cannot forget that punishment. But praise God, if you wouldn't mind, let me go to my seat. I've said, praise God, that we cannot forget the miracles. We cannot forget the punishment. We cannot forget the payment. But there is one thing that we sure enough cannot forget. We cannot forget the promise. Praise God, if you look at verse 26, you will see the promise. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. You see, the promise is till he comes. He's letting us know, praise God, that he's coming back. Praise God, he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back, but the word said that he's coming back. And if the word says it, praise God, that settles it. Praise God, he says that he is coming back. So that means to me that he's coming back. I know everybody remember when he was getting ready to go to the cross and he had this conversation with his disciples. Found at John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Praise God, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said that I will come again. In other words, he made a promise that he's coming back. He said that I'll come back and I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. So we cannot forget the miracles. We cannot forget the punishment. We cannot, praise God, forget the payment. And we sure enough better not forget, praise God, amen, we cannot forget, praise God, the promise that he made. Let me say to the young in here, I'm talking about the young that's real young. Praise God, you cannot forget it because he's coming back. Let me say to those who is mid-age, you don't consider yourself young anymore. You don't consider yourself old. But let me tell you something, he's coming back. Let me say, praise God, to those baby boomers. Praise God, who category that I fit in. Praise God, he's coming back. But let me say to those oxygenarians, praise God, those of you who are over the age of 85, he's coming back. How do I know that he's coming back? Again, the word said that he's coming back. The word said that one day he's gonna step out on a cloud, and the dead in Christ are going to rise up first, and we that are alive, we will be caught up to meet him in the air. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a people, praise God, who has no spot, who has no wrinkle, a people who don't mind worshiping him. I don't care if you worship him on a Monday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Tuesday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Wednesday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Thursday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Friday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Saturday, he's coming back for you. I don't care if you worship him on a Sunday, he's coming back for you. He said through his word that I shall return. Praise God. I know some of y'all thought that General MacArthur was the first one to coin that phrase, but Jesus said it a long time ago, I shall return. And don't we forget all of the things that God has done for us. But I can look out into this audience right now, and there are some folks that I see sitting in the audience right now. They tell us today, don't you forget. If I were to call on Brother Hayes would say, don't forget how he healed me of gout. If I were to call, praise God, Deacon Robinson, he would say, don't forget how he healed my leg. Praise God. If I call on someone else in here, they would say, don't you forget how he opened doors for me. I'm working on a job that I thought, praise God, I would never have. I'm driving an automobile that I thought I would never drive. Praise God. I'm wearing clothes that I thought I would never wear. Praise God. Don't you forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. There are some things that we just can't forget. He's done a whole lot of things for each and every last one of us. Praise God. I didn't call everybody's name, but praise God, but I guarantee you, I could have called every name out there. Praise God, because God has done some things for you. Praise God. And God has, and if you could stand up and testify right now, you would tell this church, don't you forget what God has done for me. Amen. There might be somebody here today who have not given your life to Jesus Christ. If you are here today, I'm appealing to those who have not given their life to Jesus Christ. Given your life to Christ, I'm gonna ask that you come and give your life to Christ. controversial scripture, Hebrew said that it is appointed. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now somebody would say, why would you even mention something like that? I mention it because we are all going to lay down this life. But before we lay down this life, we need to make sure 100% sure that we got it fixed. Oh, have you heard? He's a friend that will stay closer. Brother, this appeal is to those who have not given their life to Christ. Now this appeal is to maybe to somebody who you've given your life to Christ, but you have not been walking. You have not been walking like you ought to. And all you want to say, Lord, pastor, church, friends, pray for me. Pray for me.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Or circumstance or crisis, and you say, well, I've been waiting on the Lord, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is doing what he said he'll do, hadn't shown up, and I've been crying out. And there are some things that we say that we're doing. We say we're waiting on the Lord, and many times God is waiting on us. But what I want to ask today is, do you really know how to wait on the Lord? I mean, do you really know biblically how to wait on God? What is important about this is the difference between a breakdown and a breakthrough. If you don't know how to wait on God and know that God has said certain things in His Word and gives to us certain knowledge so that we can work, wait on Him, and know that the wait is worth it, because in the end we're going to get what He has promised to us. If not, then we could be waiting in vain, because we're truly not waiting on God, but rather God is waiting on us. So I want us to share some things from the Word. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, very familiar verse of Scripture, says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That's one of the first promises in the Word of God. If you're really waiting on the Lord, He's going to renew your strength. Then they shall mount up with wings as eagles, which means that if you've been knocked down, brought down, or down, after you are strengthened, you are going to get back up. You're going to rise to another level in another place and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint, which means then that you're going to continue the race, receive the fruition of whatever it is that God promised you, or whatever it is that you have stood in agreement with God's word upon, and it's going to come to pass. Walk and not faint means that you are going to end up the victor and not the victim. So important to understand. Definition of wait: to be available or in readiness. Now, we say we're waiting on the Lord. The question is, are we really available to God to do what God wants us to do? Because, see, you can say you're waiting on God, but if you're not ready to move when God says move, if you're not ready to do what God says do, then that means you are not available to God. Amen. See, just because you're sitting down don't mean you're waiting. Amen. Just because you're inactive doesn't mean you're waiting. It could mean you're lazy. It could mean you just don't want to do no more right now. It don't mean you're really waiting on God. It says in readiness. So if you're waiting on God, it's like, God, I'm waiting for your call. It's like firemen and paramedics. I mean, they're at their place, and they are at all times ready to answer the call. Now, they don't walk around in the firehouse with their uniforms on all day, saying, I'm just waiting for the fire to start. No, they are prepared to quickly jump into their uniforms, jump into the fire engine, or into the ambulance, or to that EMS unit, and go, because they are ready for the call. See, when you're waiting on God, there must be a sense of readiness. No matter when the call comes, I'm ready because I'm waiting. All right, it means to remain neglected for a time. Now, this is interesting, because what we don't understand is waiting on God means, wait, I'm going to get back with you. So if I'm waiting on it, that means He may be doing some other things, taking care of some other things. Listen at this. Sometimes He has to neglect you, as though it feels, for Him to work out the other stuff connected and concerning you. So sometimes you can't be no big baby whining because He ain't giving you attention 24/7, because He's working on the rest of the stuff for you. And if you know He's working on the rest of the stuff for you, if He happens to let you there and let you be quiet for just a moment, know that that neglect, as we see it, is worthy of Him neglecting you, only because you know in the end, and when time is ready, and in the fullness of time, when He comes back to you, things are going to be better than they ever could have been without Him and without you waiting on Him. Another thing, to postpone or delay something, or to be postponed or delayed. Now, I love this, because again, when we're waiting on God, we know things can be postponed or delayed, but sometimes we may be postponed or delayed. Now, that's interesting, because what many times the devil uses against us when we're waiting on God is, God has forsaken you, because He may have postponed us or delayed the answer or the manifestation of the answer to our prayer. And so, because He didn't come when we wanted Him to, when He didn't work it out like we thought He would, in the time we thought He would, because he delayed us the answer or the breakthrough or the healing or the deliverance, we feel again that he has forsaken us, so far from the truth. I want you to see again, to look forward to eagerly. So another thing about waiting on the Lord is while you are waiting, you're also looking forward eagerly. In other words, you don't become depressed and sad and sorrowful and start having your pity party because the Lord didn't do this when you thought he should have, or because he neglected you for a moment and was handling your business, and yet you should have felt like he should have been holding your hand while he handled your business. But if you trust him and you wait upon him eagerly with anticipation as to his return, so that when he does show back up, you'll know every moment you have waited on him will be well worth the wait. See, that's how you got to wait on God. Because if you're not waiting on him like that, it suggests that you don't really trust him, you don't really believe him, and you're not really expecting him to do what you're waiting on him to do. All right, so look at this, because I want us to see this. The last one is to continue as one is in expectation of. If I'm waiting on God, I'm going to do my part, and I'm doing my part. And if my part brings me to a place where I am at a standstill, I am still at that place as one who is in expectation of. I'm continuing my readiness. I'm continuing my waiting. I'm not going to get ahead of him. I'm not going to get to the point where I say, well, God, maybe you just want me to do this myself, so I'm going to do it my own way, as in Abraham and Sarah. I mean, I can think of many biblical references to share with you of people who couldn't wait on the Lord, even though God had promised them something. Well, when you can't wait on him, what you're saying to him is, God, I know better than you, and this time is better than later. But what you don't understand is all the other things God sees at the same time. And God is not going to give to us things that will harm us or hurt us or that we are not prepared to handle when he gives it to us. And so when he gives you something, you can best know he's checked out. It's the right time. The devil will give you something that's good for you, but that you can't handle it good at that time. Why? Because he knows you'll squander it, mess it up, etc., and then blame God for it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like an adult must know when not to give a child something, even though the child may not know all of the dangers connected with it. And if you just listen to the whining and the crying and submit to that child, and the child hurts authorities and everybody else, and if that child's got a little bit of sense, will know, well, you're the adult. Why you let me have it then? You know it wasn't good for me. Just so God is like that. He loves us enough not to let us have our own way. He loves us enough not to give us what we cannot handle right now. So that's important to understand it. You've got to position yourself. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see, we got to get off of that looking at other folk when God has made us a promise about something he's promised us. If he's promised somebody else, that's God and them. Their season may be very different from my season. Their course may be different from my course. What I've got to realize is God is committed to me and my course. God is committed to my season and me. And so I can't judge my season by somebody else's seasons. Nor can I judge my prosperity by somebody else's prosperity. Because I don't know if they've gotten the stuff they've gotten the right way. I don't know if God's blessed them with. Just because folk got stuff don't mean they're blessed. Did you hear what I just said? Just because folk got stuff don't really mean that they are blessed. It means they got stuff. That's what it means. And if the stuff didn't come from the Lord, can I tell you, they ain't blessed. Because the Bible says in Psalm 73, it's like having their hands on a slippery pole. It's going to slip right down and right out of their hands. Don't get yourself all mixed up and torn up because of the person who does prosper in his way, and that way is not the godly way. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. My God, don't you remember that when you were a child? Mama, big mama, grandmama, my dear, be still. Old folk don't like you to just mess up and, you know, just.